Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
We'll get to Baker Mayfield and the UFO.
Yeah, buddy.
We're going to get there because that has been my favorite story all day. It actually came out last night. Oh, there it is. This is audio of Baker Mayfield meeting an alien. There it was. That was it right there. We actually got the audio for it. Did a baby dinosaur come out of the alien ship?
No, it's saying hi.
Well, that was pretty cool.
Clearly, look, the Baker Mayfield UFO story is just too good. But big news today, because we got a couple of rare and hot takes coming your way here for the biggest story in the NFL today, and that was that Ben Roethlisberger will officially return to the Steelers this year for one more season, and that's it. For one more season as Steelers quarterback, they have agreed to reduce his pay to $14 million from $19 million the final year of his contract. It lowers the team's salary cap hit by more than $15 million. And, of course, Roethlisberger is trying to make it seem like he's leading the way. Of course I'll take less money. I've made money. I want to win. Yeah, when the reality was you're not coming back at $41 million. It's not happening. We're not doing it. No, but it's got to be my idea. We thought Roethlisberger was coming back. And before we get to two hot takes, I just want to say this. Once again, think about this. You're an NFL team. If a quarterback, your starting quarterback, returning to the team to start, hinges on him taking less money, is he still really your guy? All right, your quarterback, if it hinges on him taking less money and then he can come back and start, if not, we're going to start over. This is not we're letting a defensive back go because he makes too much money, or we're letting a middle linebacker go, or we're going to let a right guard go. No, you say, hey, you coming back, you got to take less money. You have to take it or you're not coming back. Is he really the guy? Is he really the guy? So just know that's one thing when you realize where we're going with these next couple of things as far as Roethlisberger and the Steelers. He's got about a 30% chance to finish a season as starter. They have Dwayne Haskins. They'll go get one more quarterback. You know that's going to happen because there's a chance to get guys now in free agency and via trade. They're not going to wait. And if Roethlisberger stinks during the season, then they will go to that next quarterback, whether it's Haskins or somebody else. But I will tell you this. This season, here's hot take number one. Tyshe, you got the flames ready? Get flames ready, Tyshe?
I'm ready.
You got it ready? Got the flames ready? Here's hot take number one. Ben Roethlisberger will be the worst quarterback in his division this season.
It's so damn hot.
Lamar Jackson, of course, will be better. Baker Mayfield's already better. Joe Burrow will show, hey, this is why I'm the number one pick. I'm better. Roethlisberger will be the worst quarterback, or the fourth best, however you want to say it, depending on how you want to look at life and look at football. He's either the worst or the fourth best quarterback in the AFC North. He clearly is someone that lost a lot towards the end of last year. And to think that suddenly he's going to come back and be better, the Steelers really couldn't throw the football more than 5 yards downfield the last month of the season. All the big plays they made were because their athletic wide receivers are able to get the ball 5 or 7 yards past the line of scrimmage and fight their way downfield for another 8 or 10 yards, because the Steelers' wideouts are no joke, man. They are incredibly talented. Once a game, he'd throw the ball 30 yards at the Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool, and that was about it. This season, he will be the fourth best quarterback in the AFC North. It'll go Lamar, Baker, Burrow, and then Roethlisberger. That's how it's going to go.
Coming off a 33 touchdown, 10 interception season, which he completed nearly 66% of his passes, 3,800 yards, while throwing on the surgically repaired right pin. I mean, he didn't get the Winter Soldier's arm. I mean, Rocket is still working on that in the Marvel series. But maybe a year removed. I still say if you've got something left in the tank, and the thing I don't agree with is the financials of it, of, hey, let's spread this out over a couple of years. It's like, if you're going to take the medicine, you don't take half the spoon now and then say, you know what, I'll come back 3 or 4 hours later. The idea is you're taking that dosage, which means if you're in for Ben Roethlisberger, then you know what, take your castor oil and get what you need to right now. And don't hamper yourself for when he truly is gone and done from playing with your squad. So I can't say that that move necessarily worked. As for your, is he the worst quarterback in the division? Burrow's coming off an injury, and he's still going to get bludgeoned behind a bad offensive line. So while he may be more exciting with a better arm to wing the ball downfield, I'll still say number one, Joe, is behind him. And Baker Mayfield, we don't know what the events of the last couple of days are going to do to his resolve. Potential for greatness. I mean, we'll get into it in full because, I mean, everybody's chiming in, and there's a great conspiracy theory coming out of that one.
Now, do you think, like, something happened like Space Jam where, you know, these aliens are coming down and they meant to go get Tom Brady, but somehow they grab Baker Mayfield? So now someone has his talent on another planet, and Baker Mayfield's walking around in an alien's body?
All I'm saying is it's no coincidence that Tom Brady raised his hand on social media and say, well, you know, how do you know I haven't seen any aliens? In response to Colin Cowherd's rant a little bit earlier today. It's like, you know, he said, you know, he named all the greats and said, well, they never said anything. And Brady was like, well, how do you know I didn't see any? It's like, so, I mean, there might be a whole alien thing on top of TB12 already going down. How about that? Hot take theater for you there.
Okay.
But Joe Burrow, you can't throw from your ass. And unless they rapidly improve that offensive line, he's fourth.
You know what? The team was really bad last year, and he was fantastic. So I'm going to buy that as if the team will be a little bit better this year. I mean, he was terrific last year. I mean, we forget how good he was. He had a 400-yard game. He had five 300-yard games.
Sure.
He was fantastic last year until he got hurt. His quarterback rating was really good, especially once he got a couple games into his system. He was fantastic.
You know who had a better quarterback rating?
Mm.
The old guy you say can't throw. Boom! Take that.
Okay, that was last year. And Roethlisberger clearly was awful at the end of last year.
Oh, he was diminished. There's no question.
Joe Burrow
he's not done yet.
I think he's done. I think you're going to see it in 2021. Look, he was done the end of last year, and only because he had this money due to him is the only reason he is back. If he was not due any money, if it was the last year of his contract, the Steelers would have said, thanks, if you want to try to play one more year someplace else, you could go. They would easily have done that. The only reason he's back is because he had that extra year in his contract, and this is why he's back one more season for Pittsburgh.
That's what they do as an organization. You see it all the time.
Yeah, no, I don't know if it's loyalty. It's more of it's like, oh, man, if we had just signed him for one less year, things would have been fantastic. Now, they want to move on from him. They do. They told this. These are the things you need to be okay with if you're going to come back and play for us this year. And he had to abide by all of them. They're already stocking to replace him. And if you think when you're 39, you're coming off the end of a bad season with a lot of weapons, and you're going to come back to a team that maybe doesn't have as many weapons next year, you're going to be better. Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see that for Ben Roethlisberger at all. Time has come for him. We saw it the last 6 weeks of the season. You will see it into this year, and Joe Burrow will clearly be. He may jump over Baker Mayfield this year as far as quarterbacks in that division go. I mean, Lamar is still going to be the gold standard because he's that good. Baker Mayfield had a really good year, man. I mean, they have found their quarterback, whether he sees UFOs or not, man. He is their guy, and maybe he got some extra power in his arm, and the alien he saw last night was able to give him some kind of power. Who knows? Maybe gave him an Infinity Stone. And he came out and handed it to him. That's why. Why is Baker wearing that glove on his left hand? Why does he have that yellow stone in the middle? Is that legal? Well, Odell had a watch last year. We could do this. Hey, Baker was terrific last year, and he clearly has become the right head of the snake for the Cleveland Browns. But Joe Burrow, I mean, this guy right away, you could tell how special he was, man. He'll be back, and the Bengals will be better. And whenever you have a franchise quarterback, everything gets better pretty easy. Watch out. Joe Burrow may wind up being the second best, but I know he'll be ahead of Roethlisberger, and Roethlisberger will be at the bottom. And I got news for you. Here's another hot take. Steelers could finish last in that division next year. as good as they've been for the longest time. They don't finish under 500. They're a team. Look, they were 11-0 this year. They were 13-3. They could take a big fall behind all of those teams for next year, because when your quarterback can't play, you're not going to win games. And I already know how good that the Ravens and the Browns are going to be. They're going to be better than the Steelers. So it's really just the Steelers are going to be fighting the Bengals to stay out of the cellar in the AFC North. Steelers could finish last next year. That is a real possibility that Steelers fans got to be getting ready with, because that day is coming. You know, it's been you've had the fast lane now for 30 years, you know, being able to finish over 500, winning. It may come, they could turn into a big, ugly mess really fast this year, because they're going to lose in free agency. They already know they're not bringing back Juju Smith-Schuster. And so how are they going to figure things out? How are they going to bring somebody in when clearly everybody knows that team is going to be starting over a quarterback, and who knows who that's going to be? Good luck there. I'm telling you, Bengals fans, I'll never have to pay for a drink in Cincinnati again. You'll finish ahead of the Steelers next year. Steelers finish last in the AFC North.
I just really enjoy this because you're clearly a man scorned because you picked the Steelers to go to the Super Bowl, and this is all just pent-up rage going on back to their elimination from consideration. Then you tried to hitch to my bandwagon.
Oh, I didn't know they were my Steelers until they weren't. No, listen, this is what I do. You're my team until I want to drop you. And then I'm on to something else. Then I'm on. Hey, if you don't, I'll back you up. But the minute you stop backing me up, I'm gone, man. I'm going. I'm going to somebody else. Oh, you obviously don't care about me. The Steelers didn't care about me. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. They started 11-0. Then they started losing. You don't care about me. I'm going to somebody else. That's just how it works, man. I don't have time for teams that don't play well. I don't have time for people that don't live up to the lofty expectations I place on them. If you can't live up to that, I'm moving on. That's why I put very low expectations on the Knicks, because they can then leap over it. But a team like the Steelers, I mean, it's the Steelers. You expect them to be, you know, win 12, 13 games. No. Time has come for the Steelers. This is going to be a year where they go, wow, it's time for us to completely restart and hit the reset button, because they're going to be behind all the other three teams in the division this season. Joe Burrow, baby.
The reboot begins. Hey, I got nothing against Joe Burrow. I just always caution folks, you know, against burying a guy too fast, especially coming off a 33-10 season.
Okay. A lot of that stuff was in the first 11, 12 weeks. A lot of that stuff was.
I watched plenty of games with you, too. They lost several guys on their defense that couldn't hold up either, Jason.
Yeah, you're
conveniently forgetting that part of the equation.
Go ahead. Bring up the guy you always bring up. Bring him up. Go ahead. I don't want to ruin it.
I am nervous that Pouncey retired.
Look, I'm nervous because.
Well, which guy do I always bring up?
No,
He's got nothing to do with the Steelers.
I don't want to ruin it for you. I don't want to ruin it. All right, we'll wait. It's okay. We'll wait. I want to ruin it. You always bring him up.
What, the two linebackers that they lost? Yeah, those are a big deal.
Come on, you bring up Bud Dupree all the time. Come on,
Bud Dupree's a hell of a player.
You bring him up all the time. I was waiting for you to say Bud Dupree.
No, like, I thought you were going Costanzo, and I was going to check your sanity as to what team we were talking about. That's why I wanted to do a reset, asking about the Steelers.
You were going
to
bring up Bud Dupree.
Sure, you're right on there with me.
You always bring up Bud Dupree. Bud Dupree is like
He and Devin Bush were gone. Those are two pretty big misses in your defense to what your team was for the back end of that schedule.
He's the new Trey Burton, as much as you bring up Bud Dupree. Now, look, hopefully he's ready for training camp. The Steelers did lose guys, but when your quarterback has trouble making plays, guess what? You're not going to win games. You can have a lot of things around. You can surround your team with a lot when your quarterback has trouble. And Roethlisberger, we have seen it. He is at the end. You know, I feel pretty comfortable with this because it's only really one team. Well, can they get up over the Bengals? Why do I like the Bengals? Because I like Joe Burrow. I like the Bengals going forward as being a team on the rise. And potentially you could see him being take a huge leap at quarterback this year. I don't see Roethlisberger taking a big leap. Steelers won a lot of those games last year. They're by the skin of their teeth. And I'm like, boy, they're more talented than this. What's happening here? I'm telling you, when your quarterback can't do it, and if they have to change quarterbacks middle of the season, something else happens. I mean it. The Steelers can turn into a really big mess very soon. Bud Dupree or not. Trey Burton or not.
Trey Burton's got nothing to do with them.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It's time to get to Baker Mayfield and the UFO.
Let's go.
A story that first, oh, there it is. There's the audio. That's Baker. It's Baker meeting the UFO. They came out, Kang and Kodos. Last night, Baker Mayfield was returning from dinner with his wife, Emily, when he says he and his wife saw a UFO. Here's what Baker Mayfield tweeted out. Almost 100%, Em and I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if either of us saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky towards Lake Travis. Anybody else witness this? All right, so that was Baker Mayfield's tweet. His wife, in support of this, tweeted out, I won't lie, I'm not typically someone who buys into UFO talk, but all I know is I saw something tonight that I have never seen, and I'm a little thrown off. Now, she went on to talk about it more in her Instagram story, but they said it was the same thing, a big bright light going straight from the sky down to the ground. They got home, they were confused, and they wanted to put it out there to see if anybody else had seen this UFO. Now, listen, there are many different ways we can go with this conversation in Baker Mayfield, but let's go the most important conversation. Let's deal with this and talk about UFOs, because according to the New York Post, data from the National UFO Reporting Center shows that UFO sightings are up 50% since the COVID-19 pandemic began last March. I mean, maybe you could say, well, more people at home staring out the windows. We're seeing more UFOs. I just have some questions. All right, I'm just going to ask some questions here. We're going to break down. I think that's the best way to go with this.
Yeah, let's go.
First one is this. Why are UFOs only seen by one or two people at a time? I mean, in the history of our world, how come not one UFO has come down like at a concert? Or where there's more than like two people. Why have in the history of the world, every UFO is so incredibly advanced that they find a way to only be seen by one or two people at a time? I find that hard to believe. I've got to think at some point there's one UFO sighting where I was like, you know, I was at the Toby Keith concert, and then he was getting ready to do that song about I Love This Bar, and then up there was a huge UFO, but we all saw it, all 15,000 of us. I mean, I don't know. Why is that not been one story about that? Why is it only seen by one or two people, and they're always near a lake, or they're not in the area where is heavily populated? I mean, I just, you would think one time since we've been tracking UFOs that they would be seen by more than one people, or at some point we get UFOs on video, right? Everybody's got camera. Every time something happens now, everything's on a camera phone. Cameras out. How come UFOs aren't on camera phones? UFOs right. Know specifically when they're over the sky. Hey, we gotta go fast. You know how in the TV shows the cops can trace a call after a certain amount of time, so you gotta hang up the phone. We gotta get out of here before someone takes the 7.4 seconds to get their phone, slide it off of lock, punch in their code, press it up, press the button, and get us on video. Okay, we have to make sure we get out by that time. I'm just wondering why that stuff. Why we haven't seen any of that in the past few years?
All right. So number one, the video jams it up. I mean, their technology. It allows it to obscure your feeble camera and the feeble technology of our time. Okay. As for the group thing, no, mm-hmm. you have to place yourself in situations to where you're only seen by a few. You're not going over a Rose Bowl. You're not going over Texas Stadium. No.
Heat sensor type stuff where they can see, hey, only a couple of people are going to see us.
Well, again, I mean, they have their version of a telescope, I'm sure. So they know where there's not a concentration of people, but you need to be talked about. You need people to believe that there's more out there, and that's part of the bigger conversation. But and maybe you're not ready to engage fully yet, or if you're preparing for war, what are you doing? You're doing recon, and what do? You get two people to tell your story. Because why? That's not millions telling the story. Millions tell the story. Now it's, all right, you really got to take it seriously. Now here, everybody's taking their pot shots at Baker Mayfield and his wife. They're making fun of him. Tom Brady has to come over the top and say, well, what makes you think I haven't seen any? And then Baker Mayfield made a boomer joke. I mean, there's all sorts of greatness to it, but it becomes comedic fodder instead of, wow, is there really something else out there? And then it remains an enigma. No, I think it's perfectly orchestrated. This is good planning.
I lost money when I bet on the Browns. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to reveal ourselves to Baker Mayfield. He will tweet about it. It will be a source of embarrassment. I will laugh and have revenge. Ha, ha, ha.
I mean, that's
as
what,
Jason goes
so
back and starts watching the Coneheads again.
why are you?
You went full Beldar.
Why are they always so advanced? Why can't they be just like us? Why can't they be worse than us? Why do they always have to be so advanced, UFOs? Oh, they're coming from another place. Okay, they could be just like us. We send people to the moon and at different places all the time. Hey, we're on the moon. We're good. We're fun. We're bringing soccer balls. We're bringing a bunch of different things. We're having... I don't understand. Why do they always have to be so smart? Why can't they be just as smart as we are or not as smart as we are? Why can't they do that?
Well... Your question in and of itself, you know, that is the answer. So Colin Cowherd took to it. Joe Montana, Troy Aikman, Terry Bradshaw, Tom Brady have never seen aliens. I would prefer my guys don't talk about it. Tom Brady replied with, how do you know I've never seen aliens, Colin? And Baker Mayfield replied with three laughing, crying emojis. At your age, you've probably seen a bunch. But you know, this now lends to the conspiracy theory that Tom Brady has, in fact, had conversations with aliens, thereby allowing him to play at a high level at age 43 and bring home another Super Bowl. It's not just
he is
the TB12 method.
Maybe he is an alien. Maybe it is like a real-life
space
jam.
Exactly.
And at some point when he got between his first year in the NFL and his second year, he was kidnapped by aliens and replaced with whatever he's got, and now the real Tom Brady's on another planet somewhere. I mean, that would explain things why Brady's the only guy to be playing this well at age 43 in the history of the game. Explain a lot.
I tell you, there's just so much to it, like you can't possibly fathom, Smith.
You know, and I want to know this too. Here's the other thing too about UFOs. Here's another one too. Jason and Mike, Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Do I believe aliens exist? Sure, I believe there's other life forms that exist, because to think that it's just us in an infinite galaxy, I tell you, you want to talk about stuff that scares me. When you think about that, the galaxy is infinite. That it just keeps going and going, and there's no end to it. It really gets scary and spooky when you think about that. There's just nothing that's stopping it going out there.
But, dude, we live near the ocean. Just go stand and stare at the ocean for two minutes. Yeah, if that doesn't do it for you, then you already got problems in terms of perspective.
But if I go out in the ocean, I can get in a boat and I can go someplace and I can find land. If I keep going straight out into space, I'm just going to keep going until it's going to be like in Ant-Man, except instead of going in the atomizer and just continuing to reduce it all those rates,
now we're in the quantum realm. Forever. What are you doing, exactly. to me, Smith?
But here's my point, is that, okay, so do other life forms exist? Sure. I can't believe we're the only ones in an infinite planetary system to have life. But do you really think the UFOs are coming here? I mean, the Earth has been around for 4.5 billion years. 4.5 billion years. And I mean, it is an infinite system. So you have no idea how far away that some of these places are. Are they really coming here? They're that far advanced with technology just because they're from space. Well, if they're from space, they might be. They must be really, really smart. They can build things on another planet, whatever kind of life. It's got to be another planet like this, except with so much better technology and life forms that are so much more advanced that they're able to find a way to build UFOs that just keep coming here and just showing up for a split second and leaving. Oh, I saw it. Okay, no, I'm leaving. Okay.
Move that fast, right? Instantaneously. Wouldn't you come in just to screw with the people of Earth?
Well, at some point, wouldn't you be hungry and want to consume Earth? Like, wouldn't this be the planet, right?
We don't know what else is out there.
No one else
might
can
be
live
something
there.
More appealing.
But if they can travel all through time, all through space to get here, I think they can live a lot of different ways. Why do they need to come here?
They just stop over. They watch a little Belichick and Saban, learn a few things, a little keeping up with the Kardashians, maybe a little inside the NBA and Snoop Dogg, and then they take the great music and culture of the globe and they take it back to their people and they say, you know what they're doing now? They're talking on sports talk radio just about us.
I've always wanted to see Camden Yards. Can we get over it and just see it really fast? All right, thank you. I'm excited.
I mean, look, there's so many questions. There's so many questions that about UFOs and coming here and just, I mean, I'm glad Baker Mayfield started the conversation, that he felt empowered enough to go on Twitter and say, I think I just saw a UFO. And now we can have these conversations. We can have the good conversations. We're not nearly done with this conversation. There's a lot to get to on this, but just a couple of things real fast. And, you know, just think that, you know, they're coming here. They figured out a way to come here. Why do we have this vision? And this tells me, and this, I'm getting a little deep on you here, but why do we have this vision that whatever else is out there is so much smarter and better than we are? Why can't we be the best? Why can't we be the top of the food chain?
It really is the opposite of everything that you believe as a that you're fed every other day about the greatness of the human spirit.
I think you're going to say the greatness of the Raiders for a second.
The autumn wind is a pirate. How do you know John Facenda is not the voice of the alien nation?
Oh, no, that would be really cool. Blustering in from sea with a rollicking song, the UFO sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. I mean, why can't we be the best? Why is it always, they must be so far more technologically advanced than us? I mean, it's like very satirical. Like, we have more confidence here that maybe we're the best. I mean, we have the best planes and the best everything and the best air defense. I mean, maybe we have all these things. A suit of armor around the world. I mean, wasn't that our idea? A suit of armor around the world. I believe I said that, Cap. A suit of armor around the world. Why can't that be us?
Twitter comes back. It's not, you're talking about Captain Marvel. Why have we seen you before? Well, I got all these other places I need to go help.
Yeah.
And those other places don't have you.
It takes me a long time to get there, man. I'm flying like speed of light. It takes me 3 years just to get to another planet. Then I miss the war. It already happened. I can't do anything. Now I came back. Then I get a text from Fury. I just left. Now I got to turn back around and come all the way back to this bleeping planet who has all kinds of heroes to defend them. But no, you need me to go rip through Thanos' ship. And still, he can I'm so powerful I can rip through Thanos' ship. But when he's a guy without the glove on his hand, I still can't fight him. Come on. I mean, what are my powers, really? I mean, really, a suit of armor around the world.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
So tonight we saw the end of the first half in the NBA season. And look, Phoenix has a big win over Golden State, and it has been some kind of first half. Look, no Steph Curry tonight, so the Suns win easy, 120-98. And the Suns finished the first half at 23-11, and they are sitting very pretty right now in the two spot in the West, and they're three games behind the Jazz. Monty Williams has done a phenomenal job with the Suns. And look, you can argue that Chris Paul, the addition of him, I got a big hot take on Chris Paul. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow night. But you can argue his addition. Look, Phoenix is doing terrific things. They are one of the three biggest surprises in the NBA this season. The 76ers finished the first half on top in the East by a half game over the Nets. Doc Rivers is showing up, and look, Embiid taking this season and jumping into being an MVP candidate, the overall favorite, really, as far as we go for MVP candidates. The Sixers have become an even bigger surprise because they've gone from being a team that, hey, they're a nice team that wins around 50 games. Maybe they win their first round of the playoffs, maybe not, but then they go home in the second round. Now they've become a team that's a huge competitor and one of the six best teams in the league, one of the few teams that has a chance to win the NBA title. So Doc Rivers, clearly, great job with the 76ers. The NBA coach of the year for the first half is Tom Thibodeau. And this is not me being, oh, Jason Smith, Knicks fan, Knicks. But just think about what he's done for a second, all right? If you're saying these are the three biggest surprises in the NBA this season, Doc Rivers has a couple of all-star, huge all-star caliber players on the team and one playing like an MVP. Monty Williams has two huge all-star caliber players on the team. Devin Booker is one of the best players in the NBA. Julius Randle is a good player. He's an all-star, but clearly the roster he has with the Knicks, not nearly what you have and some of the other coaches have, being able to win and win big. This is a roster that is a game over 500 and is in the five spot now in the East. And this has surprised everybody. Look, I told you beginning of the season that Thibodeau's going to have a quick path to coach of the year because it's very much cut through the clutter. If he makes the Knicks good, he's going to win because he's got the spotlight, he has the attention, he has the storyline. And as much as we're talking about the Nets and how great they've been and their big three, we're talking as much about the Knicks because it's such a big surprise. And he's got them doing two things. He's got them playing great defense, which I knew was going to happen, and he's actually winning more than I thought he would at this point. Because I thought the first half of the season, the Knicks would have an okay record. They'd be under 500, but they would be losing games close, and they wouldn't be really being a threat until later on in the season. But here they are right now. They're over 500. They're just as good as everybody else. Oh, look, they're a half game behind the Celtics. All right, and as well, Celtics could be a championship. They're a half game behind the Celtics. They're ahead of the Heat in the standings. All right, this is how good they've played this season, is this is where they are. And Thibodeau has done this, and he's identified players who can be cornerstones on this team. Julius Randle, R.J. Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley. I told you he was going to identify two or three of these guys. You were going to find out two of these guys could be building blocks with the Knicks after this season. And you've already gotten those three guys in Barrett and Quickley and All-Star and Julius Randle. He's the coach of the year. All right, other coaches are doing great jobs. I can't slight some of the jobs they're doing. You know, Quinn Snyder's doing great in Utah, but come on, man. You got Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. I mean, seriously, you have a terrific team. You are built with two big all-stars. All these teams are built with two big all-stars. The Knicks, they have a couple of nice players and a lot of tape and glue, and we're trying to cut and paste things together. Thibodeau's coach of the year.
7-3 the last 10. Best defense in the Eastern Conference. Overall, we'll see how sustainable it is as their point differential per game, 0.5. That's right. They average 104.9 points per game, 104.4 allowed. Good enough. And growth from R.J. Barrett, I think, is a huge deal because, well, remember, there were a lot of folks after his rookie season that were wringing their hands going, so what's R.J. Barrett going to be? So the fact that he's had the growth that he's had in his sophomore season, I think, is immense and speaks to the coaching staff. So, yeah, I'll give you the nod there. I obviously was banging the drum for Monty Williams, but beyond what he's done, you've mentioned Chris Paul. That has a lot to do with it, you know, and having another coach on the court as your leader certainly is a big deal. You know, we've looked at some of the other would-be contenders. They've fallen off the pace a little bit. Doc Rivers, this is what we expected. Like, he wins the award if they do well in the second half, right? And if they can win the Eastern Conference coming out, you know, regular season, obviously, because of when awards are voted upon. But, you know, that would do it. Because everybody else, you're looking at going, disappointment, disappointment. That guy could get fired. That guy's a disappointment. So, yeah, you're Tom Thibodeau. As much as I'd love to argue against it, because, well, that would be fun. I can't. And look, I really can't. I mean, he's done a fantastic job, as we know, first half, getting everybody fired up. And certainly they've bought in defensively, which in the NBA, as we know, guys can do for a stretch. Teams do for playoff runs. But generally the regular season, that's not where you see top-notch defense displayed for 72 games. Not that they've gotten to 72, but the point being that they buy in for the regular season. Normally it's all right, let's grind this out. It's like, all right, second season has begun, and basketball is played in a completely different fashion.
Well, no, but you do, you know, it's not going to be all sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows, because certain things that will happen, have happened to Tom Thibodeau in all of his stops, he plays his players way too many minutes, and it gets difficult. I mean, look, Julius Randle played every minute of a 20-point win over the Pistons, you know, three nights ago. Why is that happening, right? You don't need that to happen. Eventually, he does rub people the wrong way. He's one of those coaches that, is he someone that stays someplace for 7 or 8 years? No. But is he someone who stays a place for 3 or 4 years and gets a team going in the right direction? Yeah. And I'll worry about those problems when they come up. Right now, I'm just happy that the Knicks are actually good, and I can savor this for a week and 5.5 that they're over 500. I mean, it really, it was so improbable that anything like this could happen. And to be sitting here like this, it's probably the most improbable story of the first half that the Knicks are playing this well. Everything else you can kind of explain. You know, I mean, because at least we knew, okay, the Sixers and Suns were going to be good. We didn't know they were going to be this good. But the Knicks, you look, go look at everybody's prediction. Where are the Knicks? Lottery, 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 all the way through. Now, it is a very weird year where there are six great teams and everybody else is the Knicks. Everybody else is 500, right, throughout the league. The next 20 teams are all at 500, and you have the bottom three or four teams that are just terrible. So it really is a big glut of teams in the middle. But when you go from being a team that, if you had 10 wins at this point, teams would say, hey, that's not bad. Yeah, yeah, clearly, NBA Coach of the Year. And anybody that had the over for Knicks wins this year in the NBA season, you are feeling really good right now. You are feeling awesome because the over-under was, I think, 25, and the Knicks are already at 19.
I want to say that's right. I think it was 24.5.
Yeah, so you're feeling pretty good. Now the Knicks are going to lose like 15 in a row out of the All-Star break. But you're feeling pretty good if you had that bet.
That is pretty impressive. The only other coach I think I might raise my hand and say, hey, what do you think, is Borrego in Charlotte with what they've been able to do, right? Yes, they're not above 500 like the Knicks. But
No, they're not as good. They stink.
The fact that
they
they're
stink.
Right there and that LaMelo Ball's come in and been the player that he has, because I don't think expectations – he is grossly exceeded. Like, everybody thought he could be a good player, some highlight reel stuff, but he's been far beyond that thus far. So you got that. You got Gordon Hayward rediscovering his shot. Graham, P.J. Washington off the bench. You've got some guys that can play. So I think it's curious, but, you know, that's an also-ran because, let's face it, the headlines coming out of New York are going to be much stronger, and the NBA, while they may have been wringing their hands over a lot of things, right? Here's a bunch of teams that had to do some postponements of games. Here's a bunch of guys that missed time either due to injuries or due to COVID protocol, and you've navigated through that. Having the Knicks be back and be relevant, come on, there's got to be a couple of fist bumps and just general excitement in the offices there in New York. Until they have to talk about the officiating from the first half.
Exactly. It is a nice break because that's what the players will all bring up over the weekend.
Yes.
They're all going to bring that up over the weekend. It's going to happen.